brethren. Let's go back now to Mark chapter 1. I want to read this again, make a few comments. He said unto them, verse 38, "Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth." And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. Now Matthew tells us that the Lord had just preached the Sermon on the Mount, and he'd come down out of the mount, and there were great multitudes of people that were following him. And verse 40 says, "And there came a leper to him. From this large crowd of people comes one man, a leper. And he comes to Christ, beseeching him, kneeling down to him." Matthew said he was worshiping him, and he addressed him as Lord. "And he said unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, and put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed." I want to speak tonight about the will that cleanses. The will that cleanses. Salvation is not by the sinner's will. Salvation is by the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, God our Savior. Salvation is not by our will or our ability in any way. This leper didn't come to Christ boasting of his will. He didn't come making demands and boasting of his will. He came and he said unto him, "If thou wilt, if you will, you can make me clean." What will make a sinner stop trusting himself? And this is what every unbeliever is doing. He's trusting himself. Looking to himself, exalting himself. What will make a sinner stop looking to himself and exalting his will and his abilities and come to Christ, bow down and worship him and reverence him and say, "Lord, if thou wilt, you can make me clean." What will make a sinner do that? Well, first of all, the Spirit of God must reveal to us our desperate need. He must reveal to us that we have a desperate, desperate need. Verse 40 says, "There came a leper to him." Luke said he was full of leprosy. Out of all that multitude, it was around our Lord Jesus Christ. Only one man came out of that multitude and had this spirit about him where he bowed down and he put his face to the ground and he addressed him as Lord and he said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." Just one man did that. And the reason he did that is he knew he had a need. He had a need. He had a need. And this man believed that Christ was the only one that could meet that need. That's why he came to him. You know what you have, or do you know that you have a need that only Christ can meet? If you're a believer, a true believer, you'd know that. You'd know Christ. You have a need that only Christ can meet. If you're an unbeliever, you don't know that. Because everybody knows that, does what this man did. He came to Christ. It was why he came to Christ. He had a need. And he believed nobody but Christ could meet that need. See, the disease of leprosy in the Scripture, all through the Scripture, the disease of leprosy is used to typify sin. Now, every sinner in his own sin nature is a spiritual leper. That's what we all are by nature, is a spiritual leper. Think about some of these similarities. There was no cure for leprosy at this time. Man had no cure for leprosy. Well, there's no cure. There's nothing you and I can do to cure ourselves of sin. It's impossible. Leprosy began unnoticed. You didn't notice leprosy when it began. It was a blood disorder. But very soon, it was manifest. And before it was over with, it just ate a man's flesh entirely up. Well, sin begins unnoticed in our nature, but soon it manifests itself. The psalmist said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That's the unseen, unknown nature of a sinner, conceived by the corrupt seed of Adam. But then not very long after that, the psalmist says, then we go astray as soon as we're born speaking lies. And then we read, from the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. That's a description of leprosy, but he's describing our sin. You see how it starts unseen, unnoticed? It's a blood disorder. It's a problem with the nature. But then it starts to manifest itself. And the longer we live, the more it's from head to toe. Total corruption. Leprosy, I didn't know this. I read this, somebody had written about leprosy. And they said that it destroyed all the nerve endings so that a leper couldn't feel his sores. When it would be scraping his sores and his toes would rot off and these different things would happen, he couldn't feel it. He was numb to it. That's exactly what sin does. Sin makes us numb to sin. You become accustomed to it. You know the things when you were a little child, the thing, it just took the littlest, smallest thing to just break your heart and you saw this was wrong. And you get older, those same things don't even faze you. And then you get to where horrible things don't faze you. You can become numb to sin, just like leprosy. And then another thing about a leper was a leper stank. His wounds were put forth a horrible stench. Well, God says of sinners that we're an abomination. That means a stench, an abomination. He said even the best deeds of a wicked man is an abomination. All his sacrifices and his offerings stink to God. That's you and me by nature. That's what we are before God. And God required the leper to be isolated from all contact in his law. He said a leper had to be isolated from the general population. He had to go and live alone. He couldn't be with the people because it was so contagious. Well, Scripture says God will not receive any sinner into His presence while we're in our sin. Scripture says of heaven where God is, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. That's what leprosy did. It defiled. That's what our sin does. It defiles. There will enter nothing into God's presence that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, a stink, or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So out of all this great multitude, the reason this one man came to Christ, right there in front of everybody, he came to Christ because he saw his need. And he believed Christ was the only one that could meet that need. The only one. Now, is there anybody here who knows that you have a need? You are a sinner and you have a need of Christ. I can say this, I can show you scriptures, but it's going to take God by His will to make us see it. This shows you that it's not of our will. It's going to take God's will working to make us behold. Look over at Romans 3 with me. This is so of every child of Adam. I want you just to see this. Romans 3, verse 10. There is none righteous, No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher, an open grave. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asps, of snakes, is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Isaiah said, we're all, this is so of all of, we're all as an unclean thing. And all our righteousnesses, they're just like the leper. They're filthy. Filthy rags. We're not talking about our very worst sins. We're talking about our very best righteousnesses are filthy before God. And it's not due to our surroundings. It's not due to the way we were brought up. We can't blame it on anybody. Look over at Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Christ said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. You know, you could take a child, a newly born child, and isolate that child away from all human contact. And that child will know how to sin just as good as people right in the middle of society. It comes from the heart. The heart is sin, and therefore, you know, it comes from a sinful heart, sin. That's all. That's all. And so before any sinner will seek mercy, before he'll understand he's a sinner, before he'll understand Christ is the only one who can meet his need, before he'll ever seek that mercy, he's going to have God, by His will, to purge our conscience, to cleanse us, just to make us see our sin. That's why the psalmist said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults, from faults I can't see. Cleanse me so I can know my errors. Job said, teach me and I'll hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I've erred. I can't even by my will see my sin. I can't even by my own will acknowledge what I am by nature. It takes God, by His will, to cleanse me, just to make me be able to see my sin. When you see your sin and you realize you need to be cleansed, and Christ, you start seeing Christ the only one that can cleanse you, the only reason you know any of that, because the Spirit of God's come and purged your conscience. He's cleansed you already from dead works so that you see now you need Christ. We're so desperate, so desperately wicked. It takes the will of Christ sending forth the Holy Spirit to convince us of sin before we'll ever even acknowledge our sin. So it can't be of our will. This is of God's will. His will alone. I pray, brethren, that He does. I pray for our young people. I pray for each of us. I want those that don't know what they are. I pray the Lord would send the Holy Spirit and convince them of sin. Make them to see what they are. Make them see they have a true need that they have no ability whatsoever to provide for that need. And I pray that God don't ever let us forget that. You who believe, don't ever let me for a minute think that I can stand without Christ, because we can't. We have this need now, just like we did the first hour. Well, secondly, salvation is by the will of our Lord, because only He can give us a new heart of faith in Christ. Not only do we have to have a new spirit to be able to see we're sin and we have a need, we have to have a new heart to make us believe on Christ. He says here in verse 40, there came a leper to Him. to Christ. Now you think about this. He didn't come to his disciples. He didn't, and I'm certain this leper heard the Sermon on the Mount. He knew about Christ. That's why he came to Christ. But he didn't come just telling Christ what he had learned from his teachings. He didn't do that. He came to Christ. He came to Christ. You know, if you feel a little sick and you have some aches, you know, just some minor aches or sniffles or something, you might get down a book, you know, a medical book, or get on the internet, try to find out what's causing these symptoms. And you learn a little bit about it, and you go tell your wife or your husband or your kids, you know, well, this is what I learned about this. This is what's causing this, you know, and you talk about it a little bit. You don't do that when you're deathly ill. When you're deathly ill, you go to the physician. You're not interested in learning a few facts. You're ready to get there and have something done for you. And, you know, when a man's just getting curious about religion and thinks he's got something that's sort of making him uncomfortable about himself, he'll learn some religious knowledge. He'll learn a system of doctrine. He may come to that. He may come to the preacher. He may come to a profession of faith and come to the waters of baptism and come to the church. But when God makes you know what you are and shows you Christ is the only one that can heal you, you'll come to the great physician. That's when you come to the great physician. I'm not discrediting doctrine. Doctrine is how we know who Christ is. Doctrine, you can't be saved without a knowledge of Him. And that's what doctrine is. It's teaching us of Him. But the difference between where God's working in the heart and really taught us what we are and the man who's just carried away with a bunch of religious knowledge is you have a heart that knows I have to have Christ. And why you look in doctrine is because you want to see Christ in it. You want to learn about Christ. You want to see Him because you always come into Him. That's the difference grace makes. Now, a man who doesn't know his sin condition, he comes to all these other things, but he doesn't come to Christ alone. He doesn't understand that he's totally, thoroughly unrighteous and that Christ is the only righteousness of his people. And be the only one he can obtain a righteousness from is coming to Christ. A man that just knows a little bit about himself being a sinner and it's just a doctrine to him, that man will try to cleanse himself. And he doesn't realize Christ is our sanctifier and our sanctification and only He can give you a holy heart, make you cleansed. This is the difference. That sinner that comes to Christ, the great physician, is one who has truly been taught by God. Given a new spirit, a new heart, a heart of faith in Christ. And where God's given a new heart, there'll be a fear of God. We just read there, our natural state, there is no fear of God. That's how come people can speak so carelessly and so flippantly and joke around about God and His Word and the Lord. Matthew said when this man came, he bowed down and he said, Lord. You know something I never did when I lived at home? I don't do it now. I never have addressed my dad by his first name, ever, out of reverence. When you met Christ, he stops being Jesus, and he becomes the Lord Jesus, my Lord Jesus. It's reverence. It's a fear of God that he puts in the heart. It's a new spirit he puts in the heart. Look here, verse 40. There came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him. Matthew said, worshiping him. Luke said, laying on his face before him. Now look at this. The natural heart demands. That's what religion's all about. Your rights and what you need to go and demand from God. He can't offend you now. He can't offend your will. It all comes back to you having this will where you can save yourself. The natural heart demands. The new heart beseeches. That's the difference. Natural man, natural heart exalts self. The new heart comes and kneels down to Christ. bows down to Christ. Do you know the word worship means to bow down? When we talk about worship, when we truly talk about the definition of worship, we're not talking about coming into a place like this and sitting and hearing a message preached. We're talking about the heart being made to bow down before Christ and worship Him. That's worship. Natural heart's too proud to hit His face. You think about all these people who were around there. And I guarantee there were people in that crowd and they were thinking, I wouldn't come and lay down like that. I wouldn't come and bow down at that man's feet like that. That man didn't care what anybody thought. He didn't care what any of those people thought. He had a need. He was dying. And he knew Christ was his Lord. He knew He was the one who could heal him. And he believed in him. And he came giving this man reverence, bowing down to him. And he didn't care. He didn't. See, I tell you, one of the greatest things that ever happens to you. You know, when you're young and you, and this is still with us. I'm not saying you ever lose this, but when you're young and you're trying to, you know, make your mark, make your name amongst your friends, everything is about exalting yourself. Wanting them to say nice things about you. Wanting them to brag on you. Wanting you, you know, that's all it is just trying to exalt yourself by stuff you do. That's why, you know, some kids are wilder and they do it by that. Some are the clowns, they do it by that. And others try to be more daring and some thievery. And it's trying to make a name, trying to get people to brag on you and be a legend. You know, the greatest thing in the world is when God gives you a new heart that's broken and contrite and you quit caring what people think about you. You quit. It's not about you anymore. It's about you just see Him and you know Him and you want to bow before Him and worship Him and honor Him. And you don't really care if people aren't into that. You don't care if they don't make fun of you for that. It don't matter. I don't care. I don't want to do anything to dishonor His name. I'm not saying that. I care about that. But I don't care if people are going to ridicule me and mock me and reject me. This man didn't care about that. That didn't matter to him. He came there and he couldn't even lift his eyes up to the Lord. You remember the Lord's parable? It's obviously important. The parable didn't really happen. The Lord's just telling a story to illustrate something. So that must tell you this is important to our Lord Jesus Christ, that He made the man that was justified in His parable to have this trait. The publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That he told that story to tell you that's how God receives sinners. The man that's broken and contrite, and mourning, and meek, he's the one that'll be filled. And this new heart that God gives, it doesn't boast in self-will. It boasts in God's will. It doesn't boast in self-will. This leper didn't come speaking of his own will. He came, verse 40, and he said, if thou wilt. This is a fact. I'm going to give you something here that is an absolute fact. We do not know God until we're made to know that salvation is entirely by the will of God. That's right. We don't know God till we're brought to see salvation is by His will. It's not by my will. He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion. We're fixed to see that word here in just a minute. Compassion. I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So what's the answer then? What's the conclusion from that? So then, it's not of him that willeth. It's not of him that runneth. But of God that showeth mercy. That's why you don't ever hear Romans 9 preached. That's exactly why you don't hear Romans 9 preached. It takes salvation out of our hands, puts it in God's hands. It was His will that elected a people unto salvation. It was His will that came and fulfilled His own law for His people and made them righteous. It's His will that calls His people to Himself and gives them a new heart and a new spirit. It's His will that preserves us and brings us to Himself, presents us to Himself without spot or blemish. It's His will. Salvation is by the will of God. It's not by our will. It's by His will. And any professing believer, now listen to me, I'm not saying believe, I'm saying any professing believer who boasts that part of his salvation is by his will, he has not been made to see that he is a total dead dog sinner, completely unable to do one thing. He hadn't been brought to see that yet. Look over Romans 6. I want you to see what this little thing here Paul says about us. Romans 6. He's talking here about us being freed from the dominion of sin so that now we can believe on Christ. Look what he said here in Romans 6:20. When you were the servants of sin. And you know what you can put there for that word servant? Slave. When you were the slave. When you were the bound slave of sin. You were free from righteousness. You didn't have any. Look, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? The end of those things is death. Well, how did I get from being a slave of sin? Look at the next line. But now, being made free from sin, you became the servants to God. He made me free. He made me free. That's about as passive as you can state it right there on my part. Being now being made free. He freed me. That's how I was made free. I can't boast that my will freed me. His will freed me. And then look back now at our text in verse 40. God-given faith, or He's given faith, is going to come believing Christ and Christ alone. Not Christ plus something. Christ alone. This leper came to Christ because he believed on Christ. Verse 40. He came saying, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. See, he believed him. You can make me clean. If you're willing, you can make me clean. I want you to get something here. Get this now. At this time, at this man saying this, there was no cure for leprosy by any sort of medicine or surgery or anything like that. Everybody this man knew in his lifetime that had leprosy died. There wasn't a cure for it. And up to this point, Christ had never cleansed a leper. That didn't stop this man from coming to him, no, did it? Why? Because he believed he could. He believed. That's faith. Why did Abraham take Isaac up there when God said, offer up Isaac? Why did he do that? Paul said he was persuaded that what God promised, God was able to perform. That's faith. Faith is believing God can do it. Christ can do it. And if he's willing, he will. If he's willing, he will. That means if he's willing, nobody can stop him from doing what he can. If he's willing, you can't stop him from doing what he's able to do. He's able. Faith believes he's able. I pray God give us a heart broken. Make us see our sin. Give us a broken, contrite heart. Give us faith in Christ. Draw us to Christ. Make us come to Him believing, persuaded. He's able to save me. He's the only one able to save me. I'm either going to be saved or I'm going to perish. It's up to His will. But He's the only one that's able. Why is that so important? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must come to Him believing on God, believing that God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That means believing God's the one that does everything to save us. That's the only way you can be saved. That's anything less is not really faith. If I believe on Christ, but I'm still looking to me to do something, that's not faith. That's not faith. And yet, we see time and again where the apostles didn't have a perfect faith. They didn't have a complete faith. They had a little... They really did think, right up until Christ arose from the grave and came back and taught them. They, even after He arose and came back and left them at Jerusalem, told them to go back to Jerusalem, they still thought He was fixing to restore an earthly kingdom. And I'm saying that it's important to have faith, but it's the object of our faith that saves us. All right, how does Christ receive such a sinner? How's He going to receive a sinner that comes that way? Mark 1:41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, and put forth His hand and touched him, and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. Christ is our compassionate high priest. He said, I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. You know, when you go back and you read Matthew 8 tells us about this, and it tells us about the centurion who came, who asked the Lord to go and heal his servant, I believe it was. And then it talks about the woman that came in the press that had the issue of blood. She touched his garment, you know, and then he ended up at Peter's house, and his mother was sick with a fever. He went in and touched her. And the Scripture says, all that was done, that Scripture might be fulfilled. Isaiah 53:4 that said, He took our infirmities and bore our sickness. He took our infirmities and bore our sickness. That same verse is translated by the Apostle Peter. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree in 1 Peter 2:24. You see, if He's going to have compassion on you and me, and He's going to cleanse His people, it's going to be by a living union with His people. He was made flesh and dwelt among us that He might be made like unto His brethren. And He did that He might make His brethren like unto Him. It's a union. It's a union. He reached out and He touched him. Would you have reached out and touched a leper? He wouldn't have done you any good. All you'd have done was gotten leprosy from him. But you see, Christ is the physician. He's the one that, you know what He did when He touched him? He took the leprosy. More importantly, He took responsibility for the sin that caused the leprosy. And He gave that leper cleansing. He absolved him of his sin. He forgave him of his sin. He cleansed him of all unrighteousness. So what's he got to do now that he's done that? He's got to go to the cross. And he's got to pay for that sin. He's got to go to the cross. And he's got to pay for the sin that caused that. He's got to be made sin for his people and stand before the holy law of God as the leper cut off. Because that's what the law demanded. You know, there's a scripture in Isaiah where it says, we hid our faces from him. If you read the margin, it says, he hid his face from us. Do you know what the law demanded of a leper? He had to hide his face from the people and cry, unclean, unclean. Christ fulfilled that law in every jot and tittle. He was cut off just like the leper. John Gill said that the book of Job and what Job suffered and how he described what he was bearing. He had leprosy. That's what he had. John Gill said it's the best description of what Christ suffered on Calvary's cross you'll find anywhere in Scripture. And as soon as he spoke, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. See, in order to speak the sin-cleansing word, to absolve our sins, to make this new creation, he had to carry our sickness, our sin, himself. And he had to bear the wrath of God for his people as the only one the law looked to as being the only leper and cut off. And so, this is why he touched him. It was a union. He said, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, in him, in Christ. You got God in Christ, and you got his people, Christ in his people, so that we're made perfect in one. We're brought together perfectly in union with God our Father in Christ the Lord. But what he did, without any of that defilement, without any of that awful abomination that prevented God from having anything to do with us. That's what Christ accomplished. That's why he went around healing people. It wasn't just to heal people. If he healed you, and he can heal, he does heal. He has healed our brethren. Some of them he don't heal, though. And if he does heal you, you're still going to die. But if he heals you this way, what I'm talking about here, that's taking care of the sin that caused the sickness. You won't ever die. So look here now. I want you to see, he made this leper a testimony of something. Look here, Mark 1:44. And he said to him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest. What he's saying is, he wasn't preventing this man from going and telling people what the Lord had done for him. He's just telling him, you go directly now, before you start going telling people, you go straight to the priest, so they have to acknowledge this was done by me. You go to him right now. And you show yourself to him. And he says, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. A testimony of what? All these things that he said do here, that was all in God's law concerning a leper. But it was concerning something special about a leper. Listen to this. Let me read this to you. Leviticus 14:1 says, the Lord spake to Moses, and he said, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing, when he's cleansed. And he said, he shall be brought unto the priest, and the priest shall go forth out of the camp, out to the leper colony, and the priest will look on him, and behold, and if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed, two birds, and there was two different kinds of offerings he was to offer. But you get, this was when he was cleansed. Now listen, what was the point of having this law? Because leprosy was incurable, as far as man was concerned. This law had never been fulfilled in Israel, ever. That law had never been done in Israel because not one single leper in Israel had ever been cleansed by the priests or by their washings. Not one. What was this leper bearing testimony unto before the priests? That Christ had made this man a testimony to the truth that Christ is the high priest. And he is the offering that that law pictured. This was the first time in Israel that that law of the leper, after he was cleansed, being fulfilled. And Christ did it. And it was to show us he's the high priest. He's the offering. It's to show us Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He fulfilled it. He fulfilled it. You see, all this stuff about leprosy, what it comes down to is this. We broke the law. And God gave a law and said, now this law is going to have to be fulfilled for you to be cleansed. And high priests went through the motions and they said, you know, we got this law here and those lepers are out there. And y'all want to go out there and check on them lepers, see if any of them's cleansed? I'm not going out there. They never cleansed a one of them. But then the high priest came. And he said, that law that's got to be fulfilled for you to be cleansed, here's the high priest that fulfilled it. Here's the offering that fulfilled it. Now, you're not under that law anymore. Follow him. Follow him. And that man went and told everybody he came in contact with about it. So much so that everybody started coming wanting to meet Christ. He had to go out in the desert because so many people came. Now, here's what he tells us, 1 John 1:7. What do you do if you know you're a sinner? What if you do if you know that you've got this need that only Christ can meet? You come to Christ the light. And here's what he said, 1 John 1:7. If we walk in the light as He's in the light, come out of the darkness, come into Christ the light, we have fellowship one with another, with Christ, that oneness, that touching, just like He touched that leper. You'll have that oneness with Him, that unity. And the blood of Jesus, look here now, the blood of Jesus Christ His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, the truth's not in us. Can you imagine that leper saying, oh, I'm not a leper. All the people around looking at him, and they're standing back because nobody wants to touch him, and he's walking through the crowd, and he's saying, I'm not a leper. What y'all talking about? He's deceiving himself, isn't he? But look at this. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He's faithful and He's just because of His blood and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I pray, God, make us a leper. God, make us a leper. Make us come and see. We can't do anything to save ourselves. Make us come to Christ. We'll find the high priest, the offering, the fulfiller of that whole law, and we'll be cleansed. We'll be cleansed. And don't ever stop coming to Him. He cleanseth us. Keeps cleansing us. He's the only one that can. Amen.